from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
As Joel said, fan evening show here on 93.7 The Fan, Jeff Hathorne with you. We will go till 10:35. We'll talk some Pirates and Steelers, of course. I want to start with the Steelers, though, and just came from the joint practice at Acrisure Stadium. And listen, what can you get from those practices? A little bit more than you can at normal camp, because these are guys on other teams trying to make jobs. It's not as easy to anticipate plays if you're a defensive player, and that's something you get into at this point of camp. It's one of the tough things to try to evaluate is, okay, what players are really improving or what players have figured out what the offense and defense are doing so they're making more plays or they're stopping more plays because they understand what's coming at them. So they're maybe not better, they're just smarter, which in itself might make it for a better football player, but it's harder to evaluate. So against this Bills matchup, you got to see a little bit more. A couple of things that stood out. Zach Frazier is pretty good. Nate Herbig was not able to practice. He was there, but he didn't practice with a camp injury, which is a kind of a Steeler way of saying, well, they're dealing with some bumps and bruises. Like there's an issue here or there. There's, you know, somebody's sore, tired. Let's give the guy a day off. Let's not make this any worse. But it doesn't seem like any of those injuries, as TJ didn't practice today. Dante Jackson didn't do teamwork. Same with Alex Highsmith, although Highsmith at least dressed for practice today. But you didn't see those guys going through those drills. But I get the feeling with Frazier, like it was with Broderick Jones. Like, at what point was Dan Moore going to go down and then never get his job back? And instead, it was Chooks that went down. We know Dan Moore missed a game, but Chooks went down, and Chooks never got his job back. It's a training camp practice. If he doesn't go in what was considered an all-hands-on-deck practice, possibility that he doesn't play on Saturday. And if Frazier goes in there and plays well, Zach Frazier will take over that starting job. I mean, should have heard Broderick talking about him afterwards, about how he's talking to the guy. He's communicating things so much better. He's so much more comfortable. He is a very quiet man. And he is a humble man in terms of talking about himself. Like, that's the worst thing you could ask him. He doesn't want it, and he doesn't want to put himself in a position to where he might make Nate Herbig feel weird or have his teammates think, oh, this guy's going out there and plugging himself while Nate's been taking most of the first team reps. But that's one of the standouts from this practice is it's a matter of time with Zach Frazier. And I kind of say this caveat every time with Nate Herbig. Nate Herbig plays hard. I think he can give you games at guard. He's never really played center. He's practiced it. It's not that he doesn't know the position. And I don't put the two fumbled exchanges entirely on him. But you don't see mistakes from Frazier. There was a bad snap. I think it was either the first or second practice. And then it's hard to remember a bad snap from Frazier the rest of camp. For a rookie trying to learn everything with new quarterbacks. And to be fair, Herbig was clean all camp too until that game. Tackle position is a little different. Faltanu not practicing around the team. Obviously not going to play in this game on Saturday. That's already been announced. We don't know what might happen in Detroit for the final preseason game, but there's a possibility he doesn't play that. If he doesn't play either of those preseason games, the thought of moving him into that starter spot just becomes more wild speculation. Like, how do you put a rookie in there on a team where you have aspirations to be in the postseason? Every game matters. Barring an injury, do you make that switch? Especially if he misses, let's say he doesn't play in the Detroit game because he doesn't practice that week. So you go into basically a week of practice, then a short week, and then the start of the season in Atlanta. Is that how you want Faltanu to start this? And Broderick said today, he's like, listen, I don't know where my future is. Omar Khan has said in the past, and Andy White will kind of went along with this today when he talked, when the assistant GM talked to us, and we're going to hear from him coming up at 10 o'clock and what he had to say today, because you hear from him once a year and how he feels the transition is coming. But with Broderick Jones, it's going to make, there is going to be a move over there, but there's not going to be a move over there with Dan Moore going over to the right side. They kind of tried that thing, but he's not even practiced over there. I'm talking about Moore. Jones had a few reps over on the left side when Faltanu was healthy. But as Jones said, right now, he's focused on the right because that's where he's going to play. So, barring a return next week and some really good practices, it's going to be Dan Moore on that left side and Broderick Jones on the right. Doesn't mean that can't change based on what's happened in games, but you would think you would want to get Faltanu at least a week or so full of reps. And Broderick, while he knows the left tackle position, that is his comfortable position, and he has said it would not take him that long to work that side. You would want him to have some reps over there to get some cohesion with the group. That's the easier of the moves. Another thing that stood out of practice today, Russell Wilson was better than Justin Fields. I mean, period. He was more consistent, threw a couple of nice deep balls. The one thing that Justin Fields did better is what you would expect that Justin Fields did better. He ran with the football. They did a two-minute drill, Steelers against the Bills. Fields was the quarterback, but the clock was set at a minute and 1 second. Ball was at, I think, the 46-yard line. So they had to go 54 yards. Fields made a couple of throws, had a run. I think there was 30 seconds left. He scrambles out to his left and then just takes off down the field for a 31-yard touchdown. And in camp, there would be whistles blown, and there still wasn't quarterback tackling in this joint practice, but no one would have tackled him or gotten to the point where they would have touched him, and you assume that he would have gone down. It was ruled a touchdown because his speed is ridiculous. He took off down that sideline and made a big play. Then in seven shots, it was kind of a botched handoff on the first where a lineman, I think it was Samalu, stepped on Russell Wilson, who did get the first team reps, is going to start this game on Saturday. So that's kind of a botched play. Second play, Russell bought a little time in the pocket. And while not the tallest quarterback in the history of the game, made a perfect throw to George Pickens in the back of the end zone where only Pickens basically could get it. It was a low throw right over the middle. Pickens was able to scoop it off the grass or before it got to the grass for a touchdown. Then there was a play action pass that completely fooled the Bills defense. And he was able to lob one over the line of scrimmage to Des Fitzpatrick. When Fields was in there, now Fields went 3 for 3. He had a running design run to the right side where no one even got close to him for a touchdown. He scrambled and threw really nice pass to Cordarrelle Patterson right at the goal line. And it was right where either Patterson makes the catch or it goes incomplete. Then he scrambled, Fields did, and found Scotty Miller in the back corner and, I mean, threw a bullet that wasn't or couldn't have been intercepted because of the speed that it was right into, basically into Miller's chest. And he made the play and finished the play for a touchdown. So as you consider that, Russell Wilson's going to be the starting quarterback. Period. Not just on Saturday. Barring injury, he's going to be the starting quarterback in Atlanta. Regardless of what happens, what Fields does on Saturday, what he does in Detroit. Barring injury, again, Wilson's going to be the starter. And today, in that joint practice, Wilson looked like the starting quarterback. Just had a more consistent command. There were a couple of nice deep balls. There were a couple of plays by Fields where he just wasn't right. I think there was one that was an incompletion that probably would have been even though there were officials there, probably was a bit of a hold across the middle where Fields kind of put his arms up in the air like, hey, that would have been a completion. I'm trying to show people here. Why don't you throw that flag? But what's so intriguing about him is that speed. So what do you do if you're the Steelers? Like, how do you utilize that with Wilson as the starter where it's not so obvious? Does he come in, and you see this more in college occasionally, where you might have a red zone quarterback. Do you go into that situation? Because even if a defense says, all right, I'm just going to drop guys. Even if you drop guys, Wilson can scramble around until somebody gets open. Do you make him a running back? Do you put him in a slot? Do you put him out at receiver? Do you just make him the quarterback? Do you see plays like that in today's game and think, okay, if he can get his footwork fixed to where he's feeling more comfortable, he can make a quicker decision or two, or you have that running game going to where he just needs to make some play action passes for you. Now, we have seen nothing in camp, and that's not that surprising, of where Fields did anything but play quarterback. They're not going to show that in camp either. They're not going to allow the fans to see, oh, wow, look what they're doing with Russ. If they're going to do that, they're going to do that behind closed doors where they know media can't say anything about what they're doing, and they will run those type of plays there. But he's a weapon. He's got to be used in some way. But where do you line him up? How do you use him? How do you make it so it's not so obvious? Or does he go in there maybe more often than not? And if you don't add another receiver, that he is just the ultimate decoy that takes Georgia's attention. Defensively, there wasn't, I mean, TJ didn't play. There were some other things. I want to get your thoughts on where the Steelers are. We're going to go through some more of some camp impressions. Russell Wilson will start. What are your expectations for him on Saturday? He's going to get about four series. Now, that's the template, as Tomlin put it, where they could add more, they could subtract based on the productivity of that first team. But Russell Wilson's going to get those first team reps. What do you want to see? And where do you think the best use of Fields? Or is it that he's just a quarterback and you just stay with your regular offense? 412-928-9370. We'll continue Steeler talk. Ray Fittipaldo, who was just on an hour ago, is going to join me at 7 o'clock as well. We're going to go over some of these things. 8 o'clock, Jason Mackey, the Post-Gazette columnist. We'll talk a number of issues with Jason, everything from what's going on with the Pirates to Steelers to why it doesn't Sid have a contract. Chris Peek from Panther Lair, we haven't had a chance to talk Pitt. We'll do that as well coming up at 8:40, and then we'll have some more open phones, and Joel Nelson is going to come up with some gambling odds on the Steelers that we're going to discuss. There is an article out right now that predicts wins. We're going to get into that during the show. We're going to discuss it more during that segment, and then at 10 o'clock, we'll hear what Andy Weidel had to say. Again, you don't get a lot of opportunities to hear from Andy once a year. So what does he think about adding the physicality? What did he say about Brandon Ayuk? What did he say about the receiver room? What did he say about Fields and Frazier and Broderick Jones in the left tackle position? All of that we're going to cover as we continue. It is the Fan Evening Show. Jeff Hathorn in tonight and with you until then. What? The Nightly Sports Call. Coming up at 10:35, right here on 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Jeff Hathorn with you here on the Fan Evening Show till 10:35, and the nightly sports call. I think it's Chris Muller tonight on the nightly sports call. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Brian in Brookline. We're talking Steelers here on the Fan. Hey, Brian, what's up?
Hey, Jeff. I got really two questions, if I could. And I'll be really quick. So
yeah, let's do it.
My first question is, you're there, you're at camp. What does your eyes tell you for question one on what quarterback? What does Jeff's eyes tell you?
I am no football coach, but my eyes tell me that Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback.
Okay.
Because he's more consistent, and it's just a little bit more polished than it is with Fields. Fields has those plays that you just drop your jaw, a lot of them with his feet. But Wilson's more polished.
Okay, here's my second question. I understand the IU. Everybody is IU brain dead. So here's my question in this way. Why not go after T. Higgins, C.D. Lamb, D.K. Metcalf? They're all guys that we all heard about. That why not go after people like that?
Well, I think you could. First, I don't know if any of those guys are on the block, but those are people you could go after next year. But I think they're looking for someone this year, and that's the most reasonable look. I mean, obviously, it's not like any side has not said that they aren't shopping. It's just, I think that's why, Brian, that they look at Ayuk.
I just couldn't understand why not go to T. Higgins. He's going to get $28 million. Why not try to prime away from the Bengals? I just didn't know. They didn't even – his name never came up.
Brian, I don't know if the Bengals have the greatest front office. I don't know if they would make that deal to the Steelers.
Yeah, fair enough, Jeff. You know, thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Joe in the car. Hey, Joe, you're on 93.7 The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'd love to see him utilize Fields, but like I kind of thought about it. I said to my son, it would be a creative way to use him. Canada always had the jet sweep. Well, why not put him in on a jet sweep and then catch a team biting and have him heave one to George Pickens? Because I just think it would be, you know, it's one of them ones where you can use his arm, but you can also use his feet if he gets out. So, I mean, it's just there's so many ways to use the guy, and he's so dynamic that you can't waste his talent just letting him sit on the sideline.
You know, and hang with me for a second, Joe. We used to have a guy in our football team in high school who was such a great athlete. He wasn't consistent, but on certain plays, the quarterback would pitch the ball to him as he came around, and he had the ability to throw it, or he could run and beat you. Now, that's very correct. Simplistic and not NFL-ish, but I don't know why if Fields is out, you pitch him the football and he rolls out to his right. As a defense, what are you doing? Is everybody going to drop, or is everybody going to come up on Fields? Because it's not like the guy can't throw the ball. I think that's a fallacy about him. It's just he hasn't been as consistent. But if you're breaking on him, that's likely going to mean a guy is open and he's able to find those routes. There are so many options. We haven't seen any of them yet, again, because they're not going to show it in the public.
They're hiding, Jeff. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I don't think they're good. And I don't blame them. Listen, I don't blame them.
Oh, me either. Oh, I'm not a media guy complaining. I think it's a smart move.
All right, but like I said, like you got a guy who, of course, like you said, you run a jet sweep and out to the right. how many D-backs are going to peek their head in the backfield? Like, oh, my God, that's a run. Well, by that time, George Pickens is way past you. And I don't care if you turn around and try to run as fast as you can backwards.
Right.
All he has to do is heave it, and that's a touchdown.
Or you fake that handoff, and you go back, and Freiermuth just works out into the flat, and he's wide open because you're so freaked out because Fields ran a, you know, ran a, from left to right.
Correct. Or how about another way where the safety comes up because he thinks it's a run. Next thing you know, you send Freiermuth down the middle of the field, down the seam, and hello. I mean, there's so many ways you can utilize this. And like you said, they're hiding him. Yeah. I know they are. They're creative. These guys are too creative to say, okay, watch this. They're not giving anything away.
I don't blame them. You know what's crazy, Joe, and I'll leave you on this. When seeing him at camp, and at one point he was standing next to T.J. Watt, like, they're the same size.
Yes, he's big. I actually, yes. I was up at the first practice, and I went, holy cow, is he big.
He's a big boy. Thank you, Joe.
Yes, he is.
Appreciate the call. 412-928-9370. When you have someone that dynamic, you got to figure out a way to get him the ball. But does he come in and take over at quarterback? He showed off that dynamic play again today. And it's got to be, I don't look at it as a problem for the Steelers. I think of it as a, you know, they used to say Dick LeBeau would have these defensive backs, guys like Polamalu, and it was like the mad scientist in a lab. It was like, how can I figure out ways to utilize that skill set? Or can I bounce Brett Kiesel around the line or have him stand up at end to utilize a skill set? If I'm Arthur Smith, I've got the base offense, and it's got to work around the base. Like I said today, there was a play-action pass with Russell Wilson to Des Fitzpatrick that was beautiful and wide open because even in that seven shots joint practice drill, the Bills just bit on the Steelers running the ball. If they get that moving and you get that part, man, how creative they could get. And you don't want to get too goofy. You don't want it. You can't rely on it. But as an option. And I'm not going to run. Listen, I'm not running Justin Fields on kickoffs, especially with the way that it looks like this thing is going to play out. I'm not going to use him a ton up the middle because I think he still can be a good quarterback in this league. If there's a couple things he needs to figure out. If he can get that done, I think he could be their quarterback of the future. There's work to do, but I think that's intriguing. But you have to work some plays in there. And when you watched him up at camp, you know that there's footwork things. I'm sure you've seen stories or sound bites we played or stories we've had on 93.7 The Fan. You know, Brooke Pryor did a hit on ESPN today about the footwork and all the different things they're working with Justin on about, you know, which foot goes correct and just kind of clearing his mind and allowing him just be a quarterback, just be a playmaker. Because it's different with him than other guys. And Mike Tomlin said it, I think, a couple of different ways that when you have somebody like that, you allow them to trust their instincts. And man, some of those plays are electric. It's one of the things that really stood out at camp. Now, if the Steelers start the season, obviously Russell Wilson's going to be the starter, like I mentioned. The other thing you're going to notice about this offense are the tight ends. And it's not just Freiermuth. Darnell Washington, I think it was the knee injury as much as anything last year. Just he looked clunky in routes. He made a couple of plays today, one-on-one drills, open field. You know the blocking is there. But he's made some plays down the field. He looks more like a threat at tight end. Connor Hayward, 3-4 times a week, makes a play, makes a splash play, an over-the-shoulder catch, a sideline catch, a seam route. But he's going to get used more in this offense. The tight end usage is going to be, and where I think you get numb to it, because how many times you say, oh yeah, the tight ends, especially for those that are not just Steeler fans, but Pitt fans, like, hey man, how are you going to get Bartholomew more catches or other tight ends from the past? How are you going to get Dickerson more catches, more opportunities? But in this offense, I mean, you just have to look back at the numbers and how many 12 and 13 personnel that Arthur Smith has done over his career with Atlanta and also with Tennessee before that. They had a play where they ran all three tight ends together. Boom, 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 all in a row. Like, they're going to, tight end's going to be a position. I know number two receiver is something that I think is, obviously, there was no, for instance, today there was no denial of an Aiyuk interest. I don't think that's even a question of a denial of that. But let's say they're not able to find that number two receiver. The number two receiver is going to be a tight end, and it's going to be Freiermuth. And then Jefferson is going to work in. Jefferson's actually in camp. He's been pretty good. If he's a three, you're probably excited about your receiving core. Thing is, they made that trade for Dante Jackson before they had the number two in place. And that's the criticism I'd have of that deal, is that, okay, you made that trade. You like Dante Jackson. He had a good camp before he suffered an undisclosed injury. Maybe he will have a bounce back. He'll have a good year with the Steelers. But it's not like you had a two in place. For instance, and I'm not saying they're doing this at all, but you trade Alex Highsmith, you feel good about Nick Herbig. Nick Herbig's made some plays. Maybe you feel like, okay, he's the heir apparent. He steps in and he makes plays. Or if you would have had Tyson Alualu and he still had some years left and you decided to move on from that, or you traded him or let him go, you had Benton ready to take over that position. But they didn't have a two. I don't know if they have a two, but I think the tight end's going to be the two. And you saw that a lot at camp. We're going to discuss some of the discipline and some of that part of camp that we saw as well. Excuse me, as we continue, it's some Steeler talk here in the first hour. We're open phones, 412-928-9370. Talk to Ray Fittipaldo, 7 o'clock hour, 8 o'clock hour, Jason Mackey, all things sports. 8:40, Chris Peak. 10 o'clock, we're going to hear from Andy Weidel, the assistant GM of the Steelers. It is the Fan Evening Show. Jeff Hathorn with you, 412-928-9370 on 93.7 The Fan. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there is never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan X is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Jeff Hathorn with you. All right, there's a... I'm trying not to deja vu this. But there is somewhat news about Brandon Aiyuk, that the Steelers feel like they're in a good place with their deal, but San Fran's also still working on their deal. So is that actually news, or is somebody just like changing an adjective? Because the word we want to see is done. Either way, done. Right now on NFL Network, they're discussing what Aiyuk would mean to the Steelers offense. to be a lot. But make no bones about it. It's not like if the Steelers do make that deal, and again, we don't know if he's going to stay or go at this point. Everybody knows kind of where they stand. But if they're going to make that deal, it's still going to be a running team. It's going to be a team that's focused with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren and play-action passes and being tough up front. This, if you could have seen the smile, I wish I was videoing it, on Isaac Seumalo's face when he was asked, I think it was myself and Jerry Dulac and a couple other guys, about the difference this year and the physicality this year. And he just got this look. And listen, he's pretty stone-faced. Like he keeps his emotions in. He's not showing you what he's feeling. He's kind of staying pretty monotone. But he got this like excitement about, yeah, like this is what I thought Steeler football was, is what we're seeing this year. Can imagine what last year was like for him, his impression of what Steeler football was, and then what it turned out to be. And now he's saying that what he sees from this offense is what he thought Steeler football was all about that physicality, about running that football, establishing that run, and then play-actioning off of that. But that's going to be the heart of this offense. And what we have had players tell us, you notice it on the field. Like the drills are just a little crisper. They're doing some different things. They have some different coaches. And it's not to say before none of those people knew anything about football, obviously. And some of the offensive coaches are still there. But Tom Arth with the quarterbacks and the footwork drills that he does and how he has these, a veteran, 35-year-old veteran buying into everything that he's doing in practice. I mean, all these drills, all these different drills, most of them revolve around footwork. Like, they're bought in. Justin Fields redoing that footwork. He's bought in. And you watch the receivers. They've got these, they're using different props. They had this drill where they kind of run a route, and there was like a fellowship hall folding chair they had between them. And they would like put their legs around the folding chair and pick it up and kind of go to the side, then catch a pass. And I've seen a lot of things. I mean, listen, our high school coach of basketball, we used to carry bricks in our hands doing defensive slides, which worked very well. But I'd never seen quite that one. But they have new drills, and there's a energy and an enthusiasm. What I was saying about the players and tape is when they watch back, there's an accountability. And it doesn't just – it's now to the point where it's been hit so hard by the coaches that players are doing it to players. And that's when you know that you're a little bit different. When players are holding players accountable, you've probably heard coaches say this, like, I think it was Charlie Batch, I'll give him credit for it. I think he said, good teams, the coaches run the locker room. Great teams, the players hold themselves accountable. And that's what early on, it's practice. What we seem to be seeing from that Steeler offense. Bottom line is, are they going to score points? But establishing that foundation, kind of changing the mentality, is something that has happened during training camp. Of course, that Steeler offense kind of make your heart flutter here over the last couple of years, and your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC and make sure and get your heart screened. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Overnight, partly cloudy, a low of 70. Chance of afternoon showers and storms on Friday. So the morning looks okay. It's the afternoon. Obviously, the Pirates return home, so that is something to keep your eyes on a skiing's night. And a chance of storms to continue into the weekend, which obviously affects 7 o'clock kickoff between the Steelers and the Buffalo Bills. We'll get into more of what's going on with the Steelers. Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette is going to join us. Reminder, the now 56-minute mark, but it was supposed to be the 50-minute mark if I was on time. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Why the 50-minute mark? Because they are celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We'll continue our Steeler talk as we continue. Jeff Hathorn with you on a fan evening here on 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.